Let us begin in the name of God transcendent, God omnipresent, and God immanent, the indwelling spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that he may grant you, in accord with the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner self, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the holy ones what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to accomplish far more than all we ask or imagine, by the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that he may grant you, in accord with the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner self, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the holy ones what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to accomplish far more than all we ask or imagine, by the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that he may grant you, in accord with the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner self, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the holy ones what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to accomplish far more than all we ask or imagine, by the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is the good news. O God, when I found your words, I devoured them. I took them in and combined with them, and they became the happiness and the joy of my life. Amen. What did you hear in this absolutely stunningly beautiful prayer? Yes, Anna.
I was quite overwhelmed by it emotionally, because how many times have I thought that I could do, or claim that I can do, and to realize that I can make effort, but everything else is done for me, finding myself on my knees often, looking up. I cannot do, but I can make effort, and all that is given including what I've come to understand is all grace.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you. Leslie.
I heard when grounding through the body in three-centered observation and non-identification and then in self-remembering that I'm just open to the circle of conscious humanity just being poured down and all around and, and that self-remembering.
Yes. Amen. Thank you. Tracy.
I heard that with a little bit of will to God, that it's all taken care of. Mm-hmm. And there's nowhere to hide. There's no need to hide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you. Camera.
I heard third force and manifestation. Mm-hmm. And we've been talking so much about first, second, and third force. Mm-hmm. And I have really kind of just fallen in love with the third force. And so this reminded me of it. So
yeah. Yeah, thank you. Frank.
I was struck by rooted in love. Not a phrase with, that this one's very familiar with, but one that is so succinct and so lovely. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Right. So, enrooted in love, everything grows from there. Everything manifests from there. And then that's what he goes on to describe, just the fullness that comes from being rooted in love. Right. One of the things I heard was that God names every family in heaven and on earth. That all beings, past, present, and to come, are known and recognized and named individually. And also as a collective, as one family. That's how both personal God is and how vast God is. And how much we're all here on purpose, that we have been given that name, given a purpose, in other words, given a form and a function. An identity, a name is an identity to play out, and to play out in relationship with others, in a family. Which, as we grow deeper in consciousness, family becomes all. Jill.
I felt response to request. Mm-hmm. I was walking in almost lamenting to my work partner that I almost feel hopeless regarding a meeting I'm going into tomorrow, and just I can't seem to get my attitude right, and I know that it needs to change, and I'm wishing for that. And then this passage came with, I have a friend on the other side on its knees, looking at the Father, remembering for me when I can't. And it closed with the remembering that God can accomplish all things and gives the spirit and the inner life, gives that strength. And so it just reminded me just to remember and to look up and to connect in that place that's rooted and grounded in love and rooted and grounded in the work. When you're not feeling the love, I can work, and I am grounded in that. And so the strength and help I need to just do the next thing is there. And I can let go of all this story of this bad attitude I've got running. So, so yes.
Amen.
Much gratitude.
Yes. Another interesting passage is, at the end, he said, "Now to him who is able to accomplish far more than all we ask or imagine, by the power at work within us." By the power at work within us. So it's not some little, you know, magic fairy thing. There's something that works in us, and miracles happen. But we know that that requires receptivity and consent and openness, spaciousness. Did someone say patience? Yes, the patience to let those energies flow and let them work out. But there's a part to play. It's not a passive role. By the power working within us. So God is not a puppeteer. There's co-creation. What else? Yes, Shannon. Thank you.
I was struck by grounded and rooted in love as well, and the strength that comes from that. And I heard strength, and there is strength in that, the most authentic type of strength. And when I got in touch with that this week, what I noticed was a true softening that came through the strength of love. You know, when you're talking about the whole of the family, well, it's all of these individuals and all the different moments that come with that. And so to be grounded and rooted in love with all of those individuals in all of those different types of experiences and moments, there is a magical and mystical softening that occurs. Yeah. And it's amazing to be witness to that. Yes. That sometimes in some of the most challenging situations where personalities are up, love softens that mm-hmm. almost in an instant. Mm-hmm. It's really powerful, and I'm just in awe of it.
Yes. I really appreciate your distinction that strength is not hardness. Yes, absolutely. It has a very different quality to it. Same with perseverance. It's not white knuckling. Or patience. There's a receptivity, a softening, as you said, a willingness, and reigniting that willingness as the process works its way through. We've been talking a lot about the law of three, but the law of three is not separate. It's embedded in the law of seven. And so the willingness to keep moving through the process and reaffirming attention and remaining receptive and allowing and listening, apprehending the movements of the spirit that are so fine in quality and vibration, and yet always there. The fullness of God. The fullness of God that is always present. I was reading today that David Hawkins says that as our consciousness increases, we move from perception to vision. So we move from apprehending through the senses to vision. And when I read this passage, this is vision. This is not something that Paul was looking around and saw around him, quite the contrary. But we could read this too, despite looking around at the world or whatever our circumstances. Could we say the same thing? Could we have that vision and that trust, that seeing through reality to the truth that the fullness of God is always present and manifesting and evolving and moving us? I wish for that. Vision rather than perception. Camille.
That brings to mind, or goes, makes me think back of the scripture that you read and the wonderful description of what we're full of. Mm-hmm. And then it says something about faith. That we need faith. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if that word faith, which kind of gets confused in my mind sometimes, you know, it's the things that you don't see that you hope for. Mm-hmm. But maybe faith really is our waking up to what we are, what we have.
Yes.
And that awakeness enables us to do what, you know, we're meant to do, or think what we're meant to think, or explore, or the faith is that we have it.
Right.
Not that we have to go looking outside of ourselves to find it.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yes. Tell me your name, please. Jeff.
And getting to listen to that prayer, I just felt a peace kind of settle on me. That was very rich and very settling, that our faith and our hope would give us that peace within.
Yes.
And when you talk about he who can do what none of us can do in loving and giving us with and loving us with no judgment whatsoever, that there's peace in that.
Yes.
And so I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, it's a big relief. It's a big relief. Yeah, we can lay the burden down, whatever it is. Yes, I felt that with each additional reading, just the relaxation of self and the expansion of presence just kept happening deeper and deeper. That's what happens when we're in the presence of truth at a high level. Okay, thank you. Amen. It's really good to see you all, literally. I've been one of those people for 3 months, one of the remote listeners, even though I always listen to the recordings, but this class really matters. It really matters to the whole, and I think especially this year, something has happened, and it's very, very deep, and it feeds a field of consciousness which is very rare. And so being here and sharing is so important, not only for each of us individually, but for the whole human family. And I felt that acutely being a remote listener. And to my friends who listen from other parts of the country and the world, a message for you that if you ever want to write to us and share with us your experiences of listening to the class, what you're hearing, how you're growing, please do. And I'm sure one of us will read that so it can be shared with the class. Wouldn't that be wonderful to hear from our friends who are all over? Before I forget, and I'll try to remember to do this at the end of class, next week, Thursday, November 1st, instead of the normal class, there will be Gurdjieff music. So the normal sharing and format of this class will be shifted to include Lexio, Gurdjieff music, readings, and then whoever is here will quietly and consciously proceed to the fellowship hall, and there will be a brief opportunity to partake in movements. Doesn't that sound wonderful? So Gurdjieff music is coming back, and its debut is next Thursday in place of this class. That's all I know. I loved last week's class. I've loved all of the discussion about goodness and goodwill, because that is the truth. Any other story is not. And so to affirm that and keep affirming it together is good news. And Beverly set the assignment, the exploration. It was a third force assignment, that everything that comes to me, to know that this is for my transformation, that this is a gift even. And I loved when she said that something wants me to grow. This is a gift because something wants me to grow. So the experiment was to see all for my transformation. So how did that go? What was your experience in the school that is your life, where everything that comes to you is a lesson to learn? Sherry, thank you.
So I would agree with you that something has shifted. How I've been discussing it with my work partner is, instead of this subjective life that I've always lived, something is more objective. The split we talk in here about the observer and the observed is very real right now. And I had an event happen today. And in the event, there was something that was just kept saying, this is for your transformation. This is, the tension is where we grow. And just, it was like saying, hang in there. And then after the event, when I was just sitting in my car, I would say that I felt my feelings in a way that, instead of being taken away with emotions, I was able to feel, you know, appropriately, really. And, but there was still such a gratitude, even though it was not something I would have wished on myself. There was just a knowing that it was given to me. That was a gift in some odd way.
Yes.
And I didn't want it to be any different. You know, normally my head will, if this, if I'd only, you know, all that stuff. And there was, it just wasn't even there. It wasn't like I had to, there was some means of working through it. It just wasn't even there. And it wasn't until a little bit later that I went, wow, that didn't even happen. And I know it's from years of being in this work. There's no question. But there was a sense that maybe that is what I have to offer.
Yeah. Thank you. That's beautiful. Cynthia.
Well, I should share this experience because it was a really sweet gift. So it's a bit of a story, but I'll make it short. So we had to paint a wall in the commercial kitchen, and it had to be done immediately, spur of the moment, for there's inspection. And I'm down line in terms of who should be painting this wall, about number four. But it looked like it was falling on me, and so I could feel my old self thinking, why am I going to paint this wall? But I decided I was going to take the homework with me and just be conscious of goodwill. And so I decided very firmly that this is what I wanted to do, and it was, I love to paint, and I've got a book I want to listen to, and I'm good. I'm good with God and goodwill, and let's go paint a wall. And so I get to the paint. That took a long time to pack everything up and get everything together. Got to the paint store, and that took a long time. And then I realized, oh, my battery's not holding a charge. I've got to have my phone. So my book to listen to, I painted with God. So I drove all the way home, got my charger, got back. Then I proceed to the kitchen, and I get there, and I think, oh, that took 2 hours just to get here. And I go in, drop everything out in the kitchen, walk out, go to the bathroom, come back, and that door locks automatically. And I forgot everything is locked inside. And in the split second, right there, I thought, this is it. You know, this isn't funny, God. Really, you're going to do this to me. But you're here with me, and I promised this was going to be fun and goodwill and joy. And so, okay, we'll do this one too. So all this happens very quickly. And I thought, oh, I'll have to, only thing left to do, because I don't even have keys, I don't have phone, I have nothing, is call my husband. He's not going to like driving all the way down here because I'm locked outside. So I thought, I'll have to find a cell phone. So I turn around in the parking lot. Usually there's no one around. And someone's in the parking lot walking up to me. And I think, I'll just ask him to borrow his phone. And I start to say, can I borrow your phone? And he goes, I'm looking for Selena. I said, well, she's not here. Can I help you? He goes, well, I have a key to give her. I said, is that for kitchen B? He goes, I don't know. I'm just returning this from months ago. I said, if that works for that door, then God sent you. It opens the door, and I said, oh my God, God sent you. He's like, yeah, sure, But it informed me,
yes,
that like the tension that you know present in your mind is all of this is for my transformation. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to be transformed without some tension, without this dropping of self, without carrying nothing but God before me, nothing but it's all right now, every moment, every day. This is it. This is perfect. This is God.
Yes.
And I'm hooking up to this. I'm hooking up to what's real.
Yes.
And it's... You start to feel that knowledge of that in your body.
Yes.
So
yes.
I was thankful because in that small little thing about a key began to inform me and carry that to some very significant things. So
right.
One other thing is we've been doing goodwill for so many weeks that what I have found in that is that instead of self-observing, non-identifying and self-remembering, is I self-remember always,
yes,
and then I reflect back and go, oh, I would have been identified there. So I'm still seeing self-observation, but from a different, it comes first,
yes,
remembering.
Yes, yes, that's beautiful. So in the experience that God is always present and I'm in God and I'm moving through God and I'm learning and I'm participating, then the suffering becomes optional. And the tension that you were talking about is much more about realizing the constriction of self start rather than the event itself, rather than how the event is going. That's what I heard you say. That it's much more realizing that there's a constriction starting, and that's what I can let go of. That's where the learning is. And key or no key, however that turned out, that's the lesson. Just start to feel it get small and crystallized, and then with that comes certain negativity, worry, concern, you know, running ahead. But it's just letting go of that and then seeing. And that's the movement. That's the remembering. Thank you. David.
had a situation this past week with a prospective client, coaching client that I had been dialoguing back and forth with, and I can tell last weekend when he was asking questions that he had gone through an experience that wasn't very positive before, so there was some antagonism to our conversation. You know, so we agreed on a Tuesday evening, 8 o'clock appointment, and my scheduling software sends out a reminder 24 hours in advance. So he replies to the email confirmation, and he says, "So I'm coming right from the gym, it's a real inconvenience for me, and I'm really expecting that in the future, should I choose to continue with your services, that there'll be more flexibility," something like that. And I immediately noticed a lot of constriction in this, like, well, we talked about this or whatever. But in kind of sitting with this idea of third force, I just said, well, I leaned into this idea that this gentleman had a lot of antagonism, a lot of real constriction in the way that he operated. So I saw myself replying to the email and said, well, it certainly seems like that you want other, you know, someone with more flexibility to work with you. I can't move off of my 8 o'clock is my last appointment in the evening. That's my business. And I said it. So you're free not to be coming tonight. And, you know, I do wish you well and hope that you find, you know, what you're looking for in terms of flexibility. But it was nice because there was no residual. It was just, he's just where he is. But I'm still firm in what I'm not going to feel manipulated into changing my plan, because I know that carries resentment. So it was just like, no, I wish you well, and I can't meet your needs. And it was just over.
Yeah, no grasping. Yeah, just free. Yep. Just let the energy go. Yeah. Thank you. Tamara.
So, interesting that as far as the work for the week goes, an interesting thing happened to me, and I felt like I had my eyes wide open after it happened. But my birthday came around, and I was very negative about it. And I almost wanted to just kind of to whisper by and not to make a big deal about it. You know, I just didn't want to think about it. And I mean, so Saturday I was at the nail salon getting my nails done, and this lady behind me was talking about her birthday's Monday, and she's going out to eat dinner at this restaurant, and they have this special going on or whatever. I turned around and I said, "My birthday's Monday," and I said, "So do you mind if I steal your idea, because we're not planning anything?" And so, anyways, we had this nice connection, and Mark and I went out to eat at the same restaurant. Never even found her, you know, found out her name or anything. But we're sitting in the restaurant, it was kind of vacant, and we were leaving. And I looked over and I said, "I think that's the lady from the nail salon." I said, "Just stay back, because I don't want to embarrass you, but I'm going to go over and see if that's her." So I said, you know, I didn't know her name. I said, "So hi, you know, I think I met you at the nail salon the other day." And she finally said, yes, I remember. "Well, the most amazing thing happened," because she said, "Well, where do you live?" And I told her where I lived. And she goes, "Well, we have this book club in the neighborhood. And would you please join us?" And I said, "Absolutely." Well, and we made a great connection. Martin came over and we met both of them. And Martin and I were walking out to the car, and I said, "You know, this is so funny, because I've been wanting to be in a book club for like 5 years." And I just felt like there was just this God gift. This is like, you know, hey, this is for you.
Yes.
And I felt like it was just so amazing. We were just laughing the whole way home. And so, to me, I thought, you know, there's so many gifts that we get during our lives, and we just don't even notice them.
Yes.
And no matter how big or small they are, and to me, it was just a God-given gift.
Yeah.
And, oh, and there's another funny part of that is she asked for my address, my email address, my phone number. And so I took her phone, I typed it in, but I didn't click save. And so the next day, that was supposed to be the book club that night, it was around 3 o'clock. And I said, oh, you know, I guess she didn't, you know, something happened and she lost my number and so on and so forth. Well, she knocked on the door at 4 o'clock. She knew she had lost my contact information, but she did remember me saying that we were on the corner of the neighborhood drive. She had gone to 4 other houses and put a sticky note saying, I'm looking for Tamara. And she finally knocked on our door, and I just thought that was just amazing.
Yes, it is amazing.
What an amazing person. She just said, I didn't want to let this go. And so lots of little gifts in our life. So
yes. Yeah, so 5 years ago, you put a wish out there, and in the most unusual way, that wish was answered without you having to do anything. Completely non-linear. But there was some openness, some curiosity in the moment. And there it was, a God wink. Yes, I'm here. I'm present and active in your life in the smallest ways. And I want to be. Yeah. Thank you. Yes, Linda.
I was intrigued by the word goodwill. Mm-hmm. It had an association for me of, you know, during Christmas, after you've kind of gotten past all the what should I buy and what should I do and all the stuff, and it comes to Christmas Eve, and there's that kind of magical moment when you just walk into strange places and don't even know anybody, and people are just saying, there's just so much goodwill. There's just this state and this beingness of just generosity. Mm-hmm. So the word evoked that state and that idea for me. Mm-hmm. And as I was had an instant of observing something about the election that has caused so much tension inside me, I just brought to mind this idea of goodwill, of that just gratuitous,
yes,
just for not unearned, and I just thought, could I offer goodwill to this person that bothers me?
Yeah.
And I just had this moment where I really just experienced that freedom, mm-hmm, and generosity, and it was a softening.
Right.
It was a softening. And it's allowed me this week to kind of back off from all the engagement and the agitation and just to be more generous.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, my God. That is just transformative. Oh, my goodness.
Me and what you read about the love of Christ is beyond knowledge.
Yes. Yeah. Right. That's right. That's right. And what did it cost you to do that? It cost you judgments, you know, attitudes about how it should be, burdened or feeling negative. That's what it cost you. What a deal.
It's a great little practice now.
Yes.
As it comes up, to remember the state, to remember that moment, and just, yeah, it's a great practice.
Yes, it's a great practice. Absolutely. And that choice is there all the time. That choice is there constantly. in the mornings I take long, long walks with my dog, and I just wander through different neighborhoods in this new city, and I am so aware during that time of the gift of life. With nothing special, but it's the time where I'm practicing just affirming the gift of life. Just the gift of existence and the gift of being and breathing and seeing. It changes everything. So then there are really, really difficult moments, or what we would label difficult. And I've been pondering the law of three, the holy affirming, the holy denying, and the holy reconciling. And in the end, it's all energy. It's just energy. And it's available energy. And it just is. And then what? And then what happens? We talked a little bit in the classes the last couple of weeks that a lot of times our relating force to life is self-love. It's what the self wants, what it's not getting. And so then the judgments come on the energies. And I've also been pondering that observing I, or the observer, has no voice. There's no voice to the observer. It just is. And it just is with what is. So any time that we're working and we hear voices start to label, we can know that's not the observer. So then there's an invitation to step back. When I was a child, I named it the stepping back exercise, but it was actually a self-remembering exercise because I could feel something attaching. And I would just step back and back until it was absolutely silent with whatever is. And so the law of three helps us see the movement of the energies. But at a certain level of consciousness, creation, the law of three, and evolution, the law of seven, become the same thing. Creation is evolution, and evolution is creation. Ilya says that all the time. So what is that saying? It means that there's just flowing. There's just flowing. When the energies just are and there's participation with them, there's a flow that's happening. And that's what happens in here a lot of times when we witness to these breakthroughs, when we're able to just be with the energies as they're moving through our lives. When we're able to see things are happening in the only way they can, and this life that I have is my school. And I'm showing up, and I'm paying attention, and I'm learning. Rooted and grounded in love, here I am. Yes, Shannon.
I observed this week the times when I often had something to say about the flow instead of just being in it, in the moment. And my significant other will sometimes say that I should have been a lawyer, because I almost always, probably especially with him, have a response. Mm-hmm. And I've been learning lately, as you're describing, I appreciate it, that there doesn't have to be a voice to the flow, something mm-hmm. to say about it, mm-hmm. which is a version of control or judgment on some level. Mm-hmm. It can be just be in it and allow for that, and to not always have something to say about it, which is just my own inner commentary or need to be right about it in some way.
Yeah.
And when I was able to just sort of zip it and not have to say something, that in itself is a miracle sometimes, but there was, what came through for me was understanding.
Yes.
That, okay, both I can see where you are in this moment, and I can observe where I am in this moment, and it's all okay. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have to be wrong to make me right, or vice versa, or anything along those lines. It can just all be okay as it is.
Yeah.
And then it does just step into this interweaving of this flow. And the understanding actually strengthens, builds mm-hmm. that sense of connection and closeness and intimacy with life.
Yes.
So the power of understanding, like, to say, I really get that. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. It was powerful for me this week.
Yeah, and you're paying attention. I mean, the fact that you can say, you can feel the movement and say understanding is growing is because there's a tension through the whole octave. You know what I mean? That even when there's constrictions, that there's still your attention and intention is being carried through it as the energy moves. And then, yes, then the fruits of that are understanding. I'm going to remember what you just said. I don't have to say anything about the flow. You don't have to give voice to the flow.
Commentary.
Pardon me?
The commentary.
The commentary on the flow. Yeah. That's a loss of force right there. One of the things that I've been working with in energy is with what could be called a very busy schedule. So that's the caveat, that's what it would be called, is to non-identify with schedules, to-dos, whatever, you know, whatever that looks like, feeling behind, feeling overwhelmed, dropping all of that and just being in the flow with what is, with no story about it, and it changes everything. And so a different relating force is trusting the flow rather than trying to control the flow, which is where the energy starts to leak. But it's a body thing for me of, instead of like this kind of leaning forward and feeling pressured and pushed, to just be back and breathing and trusting and participating, just moving through. And then watching the energy rise and breathing back down in. And it is just a different experience. And not only is it a different experience, it's a different, the way it looks in the play of people and events is different. And one example is, I had a real attitude about a certain way to do something and really just put up a stink about it, and did not get my way. Thank God. And so followed through with some of the things to organize a work project a certain way. And I am absolutely amazed at what is happening. Absolutely amazed at how this is flowing when I thought it would be a disaster. Better than I could have scripted. And so it's teaching me to trust. And I'm really practicing the inner taste every time this certain team of people gets together and goes through this very complex process. I'm really practicing the inner taste of just trusting. I don't have to prepare a lot. I don't have to explain a lot of words on the flow, as Shannon just said. I just show up with this group of people, and we wonder, and we gaze, and we share. And it is such a different experience. And that school has been very useful for me. And I know it is for everyone involved. And so when the temptation is to push and to lean in, to do the opposite, to relax and breathe and rest and trust. It's a different kind of life. Yes, Jill.
I've been experiencing that in the prayer as well. The energy's coming up, and I'm mm-hmm. realizing what a beautiful container that is for learning to bear energies.
Yes. Yes.
In the silence, and I've had big energy up and just felt this the last few days very irritable, and just it's like a pressure cooker that just feels like it needs to let off some steam. Mm-hmm. And in the prayer, it's happened too. Mm-hmm. And it's offered a container where I've got my feet on the ground and my butt in the chair and I'm staying.
Yeah.
And it's wishing to let go of that story that it's brutal and just realizing mm-hmm. it's just energy. And it can be born, and it feels like a training process, and that feels like all week I've been observing that it is just really intense. This week, the false personality, and that is the gift. That is my gift for transformation.
Yes.
To have this energy, I'm asking for it, and I wish to learn what to do with it. And I picked up a Beryl Pogson book, opened it up, and it was about doing the next thing, but it said all the possibilities lie up above us.
Yes.
And I was thinking about that third force of, you know, being pulled, and actually it's all just up above, any possibility, if I can bear it and connect. And I was seeing the flow is going mm-hmm. this way mm-hmm. versus just this way. It's all of it. It's,
yeah.
And that feels like it connects with goodwill to just sit the butt in the chair and keep the feet on the ground and be willing
yes.
to experience whatever it is, and knowing that it's for my transformation.
Yes, yes.
And it's something that needs to be learned.
Yes.
In a safe place. And
yes. Well, I was reading something else today about that our will is only as good as our level of consciousness. But spiritual will, or God's will, is at a very high level of consciousness. It's calibrated on Hawkins' scale at 850. But that spiritual will is accessible to us all the time. But when I'm trying to get my way, my will calibrates, you know, at that level, the my way level, the my way, which is just asking for the holy denying to come in and ask me my will or God's will. But it takes what you're describing of feeling that and holding those competing energies. And again, back to what we talked about with Cynthia's example, the game is releasing the cramp of self-will, not the events. It has nothing to do with that. And then on this plane of existence, that's where the law of seven comes in time bodies that we're in. Those energies have to play out in time. And they have to reconcile. The small will has to be reconciled with God's will.
The shift from the life triad to the work triad,
yes.
That is the tension that so many people have spoken of.
Yes.
And that is what we're feeling when we're sitting in it. It doesn't want to sit in it, and I do.
Yes.
I am willing to.
Right. Right. And it takes, it's good to look back on really difficult times where we've had an opinion about how it should go or something that we thought was really horrible, and look back on those times and see what we learned. Because going forward, that's how we build trust to let go. That's where we get the sense-based evidence that as a human being is nice to have, that it all worked out or is working out. But it takes a longer arc of attention to notice these things. Because then we're on to the next thing and the next thing, and we forget that, oh, it did actually work out when I thought it was a pisser. Yes. Or worse.
So I'm just going to throw this out there and probably take the rest of the class. Something you said, I guess it was 3-4 years ago. I don't know. It was a long time, but it was really struck me. And then I read it again in the work book, new book that we're reading, that God's will is not done on earth. Mm. And here we are talking about self-will or God's will. I'm still struggling with the understanding of that. But tonight, listening to everything, it seems like if the kingdom of heaven is within, mm-hmm. we are manifesting God's will when we're open, receptive, the higher information that's constantly being downloaded that we mm-hmm. just don't hear until we become receptive to it.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like God's will is manifesting through us when mm-hmm. we're in higher consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Here, I'm going to read something that, and there's another piece maybe in Hawkins we'll get to. This is in Rebecca Nottingham's book, and it's in the chapter on third force. For the work acting as third force means that the Holy Spirit is the reconciling factor, and any manifestation will be in harmony with the kingdom of heaven. This is our aim in the work, because after all, what should be your deciding factor in any circumstance? Shouldn't it be God's will and not your own? And so when that's an aim and a wish, and there's efforts, as you said, to be receptive and open, to feel the cramp of self and be willing just to release the cramp of self, that allows God's will to come through.
So God's will can be done on earth.
Absolutely.
I mean, there. I know, you know, I mean, there's a deep knowing of that.
Yes.
But just hearing that one time, it's like I got stuck in the dualistic mind, I guess.
Yeah, yes and. Mm-hmm. Yes and. Right.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about the Law of Seven. What do you know? Tracy.
The Law of Order.
The Law of Order, that's right. The Law of Octaves. The Law of Process. So how does the order of manifestation, the order of manifestation, evolution, evolving as Christ. So the Law of Three, which we've been talking about, and studying those different energies or forces, is moving in time. Apparently, Lori tried to describe this on one of the recordings, and she had a little graphic, or she was doing something with her hands, and I really wondered what that was. Yes, that's, oh yeah, the itsy-bitsy okay. Spider. Yes, and that's what I started to envision, that the triad moves in time and changes. That's the Law of Seven. But you have to pay attention again to the arc of time. So one of the things that is a great practice, a different third force, is scale. And somebody talked about, I can't remember who it was. Oh, it was Tamara. She's not here anymore. She talked about that in seeing her own suffering, when she realized that there were other people suffering with the exact same things or greater things, that it reduced her own suffering. That's scale. And the same thing in the manifestation of our lives. We can bring scale to any manifestation. So we tend to get crystallized in the moment. This isn't going my way, whatever it is. But that's just the moment. To have scale is to trust that, okay, I'm willing to walk in how this plays out. Okay, God, I am willing to walk and trust you as this plays out. That's what you did, Cynthia, with the painting example. You were self-remembering the entire time, just willing for how it was going to play out. And 2 hours went by, and 3 hours went by, and you know, on one level, nothing's happening. But on the vertical level, everything's happening. So our experiment this week is to bring scale into our experience of the energies of the manifestations. And scale can be the arc of time. It can be looking back and looking forward. It can be the whole context of the human experience. It can be seen as God sees and not as I see. So different levels of consciousness. So scale becomes a different third force. Do you see the role it can play? It changes the view. Instead of a viewpoint, which is just a point, scale actually creates a whole spectrum of a view. So scale is what Hawkins would call context instead of content. When we're focused on content, we get crystallized, we get worried, we get burdened. We're trying to manipulate the flow. When we go drop back into context, God consciousness, trust, the scale of time. I'm willing to take the next step. A totally different third force. So working with scale in manifestation. Are there any questions? Our kids keep asking us, where are you guys going to live? And we keep saying, I don't know. And they want an answer, like a point in time. And we're just willing to say, I don't know. And the next thing keeps happening. And it's an adventure rather than a concern. And that's true actually for anything. I don't know. And I don't even want to know about. I don't know. Was there, Lewis?
You had mentioned the arc of time, but then prior to that, I thought I heard you say, I don't remember the word. It was, I thought I wrote it down. Arc of perception. No, arc of attention.
Yes.
And immediately yes. When you said that prior to the arc of time, I kept thinking, well, that's not time. But
right.
And so.
It's different.
Yeah. And then talking about everything that everybody's been mentioning, it's like over a course of time, this has happened. And something on a scale. Tell me if this is scale-like. Was about a week ago, we had the dams mm-hmm. and everything that was happening all the way up the lakes. And about a week later, I'm noticing these long lines for different things, and I chose to just observe it and not get too identified and watch the people getting identified, whether mm-hmm. it was lottery tickets or the energy going into right. voting.
Right.
And this one had to wait for 2 hours to vote. You know, I said, well, let's just bear it and watch it. And that was very interesting to just notice and see the flow of that.
Yes.
And it was kind of like you said, you can kind of, it's kind of both. You got to hold it.
Right.
But then really it stood out. It seemed more apparent when I was watching and still paying attention to people waiting in lines for water. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is a big scale here. Here's people made of water, waiting for water, affected by water.
Yes.
Over a discourse of time,
yes.
a scale of time.
Yes.
You know, from a week ago, and I'm watching it because I'm seeing, I wouldn't say necessarily suffering, but I see how it's affecting people. And in my job, I had to cancel. You know, I had to call my team and cancel. Multiple days, and they're like, when do we get to go back to work? You mm-hmm. know, because we're affected by health. So I'm just thinking, that's an enormous scale.
It's a huge scale, that's
you
right.
know? And the water is truth, you know, and it's right. like, wow, here's another scale to look at. You know?
Right.
And it just kept expanding, and I thought, you know, I just got to breathe with it.
Right. But it's beautiful that you're seeing it on so many different levels and seeing the metaphorical and the metaphysical and the flow of humanity.
Yes.
And there's
almost this Kwanaskatsi.
Exactly. 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 And that's a great film about scale. And seeing just the arc of movement, like those shots where the traffic is moving through a city and stopping. And, you know, it, when you're looking down on it, it's a completely different free experience. It's artful. It's like, it's art. It's the art of life. Versus when you're in it, the art of life is still a possibility without getting stuck in the energies. And that doesn't mean that we're not feeling. Don't hear that. It means we're feeling more, probably. But we can be a sieve. We can be a sieve and allow the energies to go through us. And if we're really paying attention, we can allow the energies, which may be negative all around us, like standing in a long voting line or water line, we can actually be a transformer of energies.
And one thing that helped, like waiting in the voting lines or just even waiting for water for myself, was no expectations.
Yes.
No expectations. You know, and it was like,
Right.
Thank you for, you know, that ability to remember in that moment, just to kind of just go with the flow.
Right. Literally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. That's beautiful. Any other questions or comments on scale? Scale in manifestation? Okay. Thank you. Okay, just a reminder, next week, Gurdjieff music in this sanctuary on a Thursday, November 1st, All Saints Day. Let's take a moment and deepen our awareness of body and breath, awareness, the gift of life. And let's know together. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed we are to simply remember God. Amen. With deep gratitude, we bless these tithes and offerings with the victory of consciously chosen love. In each of our lives and across this planet, over the lie that we are separate and are useless acting out from fear. In Christ we pray. Amen. Protect us, Lord, as we stay awake, and watch over us as we sleep, that awake we may keep watch with Christ, and asleep rest in his peace. And may God grant us a quiet